We are in the middle of the fifth week of Lent, and we're also celebrating a national holiday, Araw ng Kagitingan. The readings today bring up a topic which is very important, not only in the spiritual life, but also in civic and national life, that is, the nature of true freedom. What is it that makes us truly free? Naturally, on this holiday, we think of the freedom from oppression, or the freedom that the veterans in World War II fought and suffered for. That's why it's Araw ng Kagitingan. I had to look up Kagitingan again. The English name of this holiday is Day of Valor, but even valor was a kind of unusual word, so I looked up Kagitingan. The root word is Giting. And I said, I never heard that. I never know Giting. No one ever uses that word. Is that very deep, Tagalog? Giting. Anyway, in my dictionary, it says heroic courage. Heroic courage. So valor is not even a very, it's also the same, but apparently it can't quite capture the meaning of Kagitingan that well in English. It's something much greater. It's something very heroic. A person who has Giting is, or Kagitingan has a very high moral character, willing to sacrifice for values. So that is something to honor as a nation, something to celebrate. I'm always fascinated with how nations choose days to stop their usual life, days that are holidays, national holidays. We had one last week for the end of Ramadan, so it was in honor of the Muslims. The month before, we had a holiday for the Chinese New Year. Next week, we're going to have two holidays, right? Good Holy Thursday, Good Friday. There are two national holidays. So, and today, the Araw ng Kagitingan. So these days are proclamations of what are of really precious values to a nation. And today, I'm sure, in significant places of the war, World War II, there will be politicians making speeches. With an election coming up, there will be lots of people talking about how they stand up for the values of the country and are examples themselves of Kagitingan. And that's good. I mean, that's what politicians should do. They should proclaim values, and they should say that they represent the values of the nation. We just hope that it's true. Anyway, if you think about I'm thinking a little bit about this, the suffering of so many people during the war. When I first came to the Philippines, I met a lot of people who were actually veterans of that time. I mean, they were in their 70s, 80s when I came, but they were in Bataan. Some of them were in the death march or were prisoners of war. Now, I don't know if there are any of those people still alive. If they are, they would have been very young during the occupation and be very old now. There are people, some people have childhood memories of the war. I can think of our sister here. You can remember the war as a child, no? I mean, so there's some of the seniors, sure, you remember, but you were not a veteran, you were just a child. So, I mean, you have to be over 100 years old to be one of the veterans honored today, I think. I don't know if there are any left. There might be a few. But we know what happened there was, in order to defend freedom, people had to be willing to sacrifice. And sometimes it wasn't their own choice. They were just caught in the wrong place at the wrong time. And, you know, young man with a gun, and what do? You get thrown into a prison camp. But the awareness is that freedom is costly. That to stand up for some values means sacrificing some personal advantage. And that's really an important lesson for everybody in every age, in every political situation. The problem with us in modern times is that we have a very immature grasp of freedom. We tend to have very kind of adolescent idea of freedom. And you can think of the children today to say, oh, today's a holiday, so I don't have to go to school today. That means I'm free. I don't have to do what I usually have to do. That's as far as their understanding of freedom goes, although some adults have this. Oh, I don't have to go to work today, therefore I'm free. Well, yes, that's a kind of freedom. It is a kind of freedom when we're not obliged to do something, but that's not the deepest or the richest meaning of freedom. Here we have in the readings, I think, more profound understanding of what freedom is, what spiritual freedom is, what moral freedom is. It's not just not having to do something or having the capacity to do what we want to do and not what someone else wants us to do. Here, the first reading brings us to the experience of these three young men who are imprisoned by King Nebuchadnezzar, who at that time was probably the most powerful person in the whole world, and he was making demands on them that they worship the god that he chose as the national god. So it was a combination of religious authority and civic authority. And these three young men said, no, we worship God, the real God, the true God, and no matter what you say or do, we're going to be faithful to God. And of course, Nebuchadnezzar, his face became livid with utter rage. He's not used to having people say, I'm not going to obey you. He's not used to people who have that kind of moral freedom to stand up to him. And he says, now I'm going to destroy you. Heat up the furnace 7 times hotter than usual. It's already white hot. I don't know what 7 times hotter than white hot is. But in other words, this is a really extreme confrontation between power, political, religious power, and inner freedom. And the three young men are the winners here. They are, yes, they're bound. Yes, they're prisoners. Yes, they are under a powerful authority, much more powerful than they are. But in the end, they are proven to be freer than the ones who are binding them and who are oppressing them. They are freer because they trust in God. Their trust in God is extraordinary, because they're not even sure what God is going to do. They say, if God wants to save us, well, okay, let him save us. But even if he won't save us, we're still not going to bend to your will, O King. That's freedom. It's a great example of freedom. That's the kind of freedom that makes it possible to make sacrifices. If we don't have that kind of freedom, well, then we're not really free. I think a lot of people's experience of not being free nowadays has to do with inner compulsions, addictions, the kind of freedom the kind of slavery that sin causes. So no one, talk to an alcoholic, no one is making him take another drink. And people who don't understand the addictive process say, well, why don't you just stop doing that? No one's making you drink. And the guy will say, well, I can drink if I want to. I can stop if I want to. But we know that he can't really stop. He can make decisions against the addiction, but once he starts drinking, he's lost control of himself. He's not free. And addicts are not free. They're not completely helpless. I mean, they're helpless in the face of their addiction. That's important for them to recognize. They're powerless over the addiction. But they're not completely powerless. They can get help. They can seek help. But you see what I mean? This is a kind of slavery which is much worse than having to go to school or having to go to work or having being under the obligation from a constraint from outside. This is an inner slavery. And there's lots of these now, people who are caught up in these games, gaming, gambling, online activities, and shopping, and all these people who are, they're really enslaved. Well, that takes us to what Jesus speaks about in today's gospel. He says, if you remain in my word, you will truly be my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Beautiful understanding of freedom. Freedom is based on truth. Freedom is based on reliance on God, acceptance of His word, faith. When we can't move ourselves to respond in love or in faith, or to do what's right, then we're not free. If we can't make the sacrifice of our preference or our desire for the good that is at hand, then we're not free. Even if we're in a free country and nobody's making us do anything. Well, we have to have the capacity to say yes to God no matter what the cost. That's what we see in these three men in the first reading. But Jesus is speaking about this level of freedom, and his opponents say, well, we already are free because we're children of Abraham. We're free by virtue of our ancestry. And Jesus says, well, that's not what I'm talking about. First of all, the children of Abraham were enslaved many times, including by King Nebuchadnezzar in the first reading. But we know they were enslaved in Egypt. They were enslaved by the Assyrians, they were enslaved by the Chaldeans, they were constantly under oppression. And so they were many times not free in the political sense. But as long as they remained faithful to the covenant, they were really free. That's what Jesus is talking about. And then when they say, we're free already, how can you say you will become free? Jesus explains the level on which he's speaking. Amen, amen, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. That's something to grasp for a moment. Everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. Sin is always the illusion of freedom. But when we give in to that temptation and we commit sin, we become enslaved to that sin. And that's how vices take over people's lives. We've been studying vices for months. How do people get trapped by vice? Well, they become enslaved because of their own decisions to sin. And then the sin takes over and they lose their freedom. But then Jesus continues, if the Son frees you, then you will truly be free. If the Son, Jesus, frees us, and that's what we're going to celebrate next week. The victory over sin, the victory over death, a victory that we ourselves cannot achieve, but is freely given to us. If that freedom is given to us, and if we accept it in faith, and we commit ourselves to that way, then we're truly free. Then it doesn't matter what political situation we're in, or military oppression we might be under, or financial constraints, or people who don't like us, or obligations that are placed on us. None of that matters, ultimately, if we have the freedom that Jesus Christ gives us. So as we celebrate the Adonai Kagitina, and we rightfully uphold values, civic values of freedom, of justice, of peace, of dedication to the good of the nation, we also recognize the greatest freedom comes from the gift Jesus Christ offers us in his death and resurrection. And that's what makes us truly free. Truly free. It's the freedom that we not only need and rejoice in, but we want for everyone. We don't necessarily have to impose a political regime on others, but we do, if we have any heart for the gospel, we do want people to experience the freedom that Jesus offers. If he sets us free, then we are truly free.